All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the Old Testament book of Joel. The Old Testament book of Joel. And should you find the book of Hosea, then Joel is the next one over, all right? It's a small book, 3 chapters in length, but it is an amazing little book, and I want to share some things with you tonight about Joel's understanding, Joel's vision of Armageddon. All right, Joel saw the Battle of Armageddon way off in the future. He prophetically writes it down for us and tells us what he saw. And there are some amazing things in this little section of his book. So if you'll look at chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 1, here's what we read. In verse 1, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." Now, you got to realize, folks, that this was spoken some 2,700 years ago, all right? A long time ago. 2,000, now think about that, 2,000, so that takes you back to Christ, but then 700 more years on top of that. So this is... this was Joel long before the Lord Jesus ever came on the scene, long before Christ came. And yet he has this vision that God gives him about the last days. Notice what he said at the end of verse 1, "For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." Now, in the back of your bulletin and from my heart, I mentioned to you what the Bible says, what Paul said in to the people of Philippi in the book of Philippians. And he says to them that that the day of the Lord is at hand. That's in chapter 4 in verse 5. He said, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." All right, so I mentioned to you that the Lord is at hand in regard to two ways. First of all, the Lord is at hand in regard to space. I don't care where you go, the Lord is at hand. All right, David said in Psalm 139, "If I go to the top of the mountain, thou art there. If I descend into the bottom of the ocean, behold, thou art there." Doesn't make any difference where you go. The Lord is there. So the Lord is at hand in regard to space. But the Lord is also at hand in regard to time. I'm sure that when Joel spoke these words and prophesied about the fact that the Savior was coming and that he would die on the cross, give his life for us, a ransom for sin, and then would go back to heaven, and then 2,000 years of history would pass, and then Jesus was coming again. He saw that. That's what this second chapter is all about. He saw the Lord coming back to fight in the Battle of Armageddon. And so, although it's 2,700 years since it was written, nonetheless, that time has flown by, I'm sure. I know my 71 years has flown by. How about yours? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you wake up and you think to yourself, well, man, how'd I get so old so fast? You know, who's that guy in the mirror, you know? So all these things, they go along with what the Bible says. James asks, What is your life? It is but a vapor. It appeareth for a moment and then vanisheth away. You know, you go out on a cold morning and you can see your breath, as they say, and then boom, it's just gone. It just vanishes. Well, time does that. It just stands still for nobody. And so the day of the Lord cometh, it is nigh at hand. And then he says, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So Joel sees this day of the Lord, and it's way out there in the future, but God allows Joel to see it. And what he is seeing here is the battle of Armageddon, when the Lord Jesus, at the end of the tribulation period, comes back to this earth with all of his saints, with you, with me, all of his saints. We all come back with him, and he destroys the enemy, the armies of the Antichrist, in one fell swoop, as he comes from the south right on up into the valley of Megiddo and destroys the armies of the king, of Satan, the king. All right, so so it's all mapped out. You say, Pastor, you really think that's going to happen as much as anything else? Yes, I believe with all my heart that it's going to happen. And the reason I say that is because I just happen to believe the Bible. And the Bible has never one time ever disappointed me or let me down. So if the Bible says Jesus is coming again, that's good enough for me. I'm going to believe that Jesus is coming again. All right, so Joel's vision of Armageddon. Now, look, please, at what he says here, that there hath not been ever the like. In other words, when Joel saw the redeemed all coming out of heaven to do battle with the Antichrist and all of his minions, Joel said that there was never anything ever seen like what he saw on that day. You just think about it for a moment, folks. Think about it. When he saw them coming out of the clouds, he saw not just this generation, but he saw all of the previous generations all the way back to the cross. Now you think about that. That's a lot of people. And you say, well, the Antichrist, he's going to have a big army. I'm going to say not as big as the Lord's army. Not as big as the Lord's army. And that's, he said, there's never been anything like it, and there never will be anything like it, even to the years of many generations. So if you know your Bible, you know that 1,000 years after this, the devil is going to be loosed for a little season. Remember that? And once he is loosed, then there's going to be another battle. And so that's what Joel is referencing here in verse 2. I mean, said there's never been anything like it, and there won't be for many generations. Well, 1,000 years is a lot of generations. All right, verse 3. Here's what he saw. He said, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. So absolutely nothing can escape what's coming. The wrath and judgment of God Almighty. If you look at verse 4, he said the appearance of them, that them is us, the God's army. And he said the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and as horsemen, so that they run, so shall they run, like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. Well, I know that I'm going to get a glorified body, because there's no way that fits me right now. What are you laughing at? Doesn't fit you either. All right? Yeah. They shall run like mighty men. Boy, that's good to know, isn't it? When, of course, we're going to have our glorified bodies. And so naturally, when we have our glorified bodies, we're going to be like mighty men. Verse 7 continues, they shall climb the wall like men of war. Now, folks, I have been to Jerusalem many, many times. And I can tell you right now, there are places where that wall is very, very high. Well, we're going to climb up it like it's nothing. Amen. And they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. That's good to know too, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, in the fight, you see, the enemy is going to try to kill us. But the Lord, in this vision that was given to Joel, the Lord showed Joel that even when we are pierced with the sword, it's like we're not even wounded. All right? They shall run to and fro in the city. That's us. They shall run upon the wall. That's us. They shall climb upon the houses. You say, Pastor, doesn't the Lord know my knee is in bad shape? Of course he does. You're going to get a new knee. But Pastor, no, don't. But goats, but sheep follow. All right? Don't but. Follow. And then he said, they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great. But not only that, it's very terrible. But not only that, who can abide in it? You see, no man is going to be able to stand before all of God's redeemed and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the captain of our salvation. So this is the battle of Armageddon that is being described here. Now, folks, Joel had this vision, and Joel saw what was coming. And now I have read it to you and sort of given you a little bit of an explanation as we go to help you understand what I just read to you. And I hope and pray that you will go home and sit down with your Bible and say to yourself, just because this is Old Testament and just because this is prophecy, and just because this is one of the minor prophets, I can still read this and understand it. And this is what he's describing, the battle of Armageddon. You say, well, why are you telling us this? Because you are going to be there. That's why I'm telling you this. You're going to be there. Hey, the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord Jesus could come back and appear in the clouds. That's how he's coming the first on his first leg of his second coming. He's coming in the clouds. He's coming to raise up the dead. And then those of us who are alive and remain, we're going to go meet him in the air. And then we have to go to heaven for 7 years, where we are going to get our glorified, resurrected bodies. And then at the end of that 7 year period, we come back with the Lord Jesus to fight this battle. And so, folks, listen, cheer up, because you're on the winning side. Cheer up, because you can read this and see, does this sound like we're going to get defeated? Does this sound like that these terrorists are going to rule over God's people? That's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. And you can take that to the bank, because it is etched in stone in God's holy word. Now, let's pray real quick, and then I want to just share a couple of thoughts with you on Joel's vision of Armageddon. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for this passage. Thank you for what it represents and what we can learn. And Father, I pray that you will give us understanding of what is written here. Father, help us to get excited about the fact that the day of the Lord is at hand. We are sitting here, and Father, we are a lot of us dealing with health issues, a lot of folks dealing with death in their families, a lot of folks dealing with sickness in their families, and a lot of discouragement everywhere you look. And Father, there's so much chaos in this world today, but help us as your people to get excited about the fact that all this is almost over and the day of the Lord is at hand. So Father, stir our souls tonight. Help us to see the urgency of the hour. Our Savior could come back tonight. He could come back right now, and that'd be fine with all of us, Lord, if you did. So bless your word now and challenge our hearts tonight. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You will remember way back in 2009, 2010, I think it was 2010 when I started teaching you about the second coming of Christ on Wednesday nights. And one of the things that we looked at were all the familiar scriptures. And you might remember that there were a lot of preachers during the late 60s and the 70s and the 80s, and all they did was preach on prophecy. And so when they got over into the book of the Revelation, they made this point. They said that the Antichrist was going to come out of Europe. Well, we kind of put a nix in that, because the Bible does not talk about Italy or France or Germany. It doesn't talk about Spain or Portugal, none of those countries. Amsterdam. Doesn't talk about anything connected to any of those European capitals. What the Bible does reference and does talk about is Babylon. It talks about Egypt. It talks about Lebanon. All right? It talks about Jordan. It talks about Saudi Arabia. You'll remember, I'm sure, because I preached on it many, many times, that we looked at Ezekiel 38 and 39. And when we looked at Ezekiel 38 and 39, instead of giving it a European twist, I pointed out to you that when Ezekiel names names, he does not call the names European countries. No, he doesn't deal with that at all. He deals instead with Turkey. We saw Turkey in Ezekiel 38. We saw Iran, we saw Libya and Ethiopia and the Sudan and Lebanon and Syria and Egypt and it just clears a bell. I mean, he spells out there the country's names, and he tells us who is going to be at this battle. And yet we want to say that it's all European nations. We want to say it's all European. No, it's not. We need to let the Bible interpret the Bible. I don't want man's spin on it. I want to compare Scripture with Scripture and see what God has to say. And when you do that, whether you're reading Ezekiel or Habakkuk or Micah or Amos, it doesn't matter which of the Old Testament prophets you're dealing with, they are all referencing and speaking of the first advent of our Savior that happened 2,000 years ago, or they are speaking of the second advent of our Savior, which is yet to happen, but it's coming. Joel saw it coming. Habakkuk saw it coming. You get over in the book of Habakkuk and you will see Saudi Arabia, and you will see Yemen, and you will see Dubai and Oman and the United Arab Emirates and Somalia and Morocco, all those nations. So you've got Ezekiel 38, you've got the book of Habakkuk, you've got much of Isaiah that is prophetic in nature. And he is prophesying about the first advent or the second advent. And when he talks about the second advent, Isaiah very clearly lists names. He tells us exactly who is going to be in this battle. He talks about the burdens of a certain nation. He talks about the oracles of all these prophets, and then goes on to explain and show that these nations are all going to be at this battle. Now, folks, what do we know about all the nations that are in Ezekiel 38 and 39? What do we know about all the nations that are mentioned in the book of Habakkuk? What do we know about all the nations that Daniel references? What do we know about all the nations that Jeremiah and Ezekiel, all of them mention over and over and over and over when it comes to this day of reckoning when God is going to judge the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet? What do we know about all those nations? Well, we know this. They're all Muslim. Every one of them are Muslim nations without exception. Without exception. Now, consider the nations that are emphasized. In Isaiah 13, we see God's judgment upon Babylon. Then we see in chapter 14 that God's judgment on Assyria and the Philistines. And then in Isaiah 15, we have God's judgment upon Moab, which is southern Jordan. And then Damascus, that's Syria. And then the Sudan and Somalia in Isaiah 18. And then Egypt in Isaiah 19. Egypt and Cush, Isaiah 20. Babylon and Iraq and Arabia with Edom. And Edom is Saudi Arabia in Isaiah 21. And then Tyre, and which is Lebanon in Isaiah 23. So folks, the Bible names names. And it is unfair for any of us to sit here and say, oh, well, I think we ought to allegorize all that. No, you don't allegorize what you can understand. And where it gets confusing is when you start allegorizing everything. I mean, just read the Bible and believe it. And when God says Jordan, he means Jordan. When God says Jerusalem, he means Jerusalem. And the Battle of Armageddon, it's going to take place in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, that great big valley that has been the host of many, many battles and wars through the centuries. But you mark it down, folks. That is where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. So, all these nations I just rattled off to you, does any of that sound like a 10-nation European confederation to you? It doesn't to me either. No, sir. When I read the Old Testament prophets, I don't see Europe, but I do see 1.6 billion people who live in a crescent around a little nation of 8.5 million Jews. That's what I see. 1.6 billion people living in that little crescent around Israel. Now, what is Baal's symbol? The crescent moon, yes. What is Islam's symbol? The crescent moon, exactly. And it's the same religion, came from the same devil, and it's still doing its thing today. But the Battle of Armageddon is going to fix this. Now, folks, listen, we need to get over World War II. All right, just get over it. Get over your hatred of Nazi Germany and Hitler and Stalin and the atheistic Soviet Union. Just get over all that. When you read the prophets, you don't see Germany, Spain, France, Sweden, Ireland, the Swiss, the Belgians. You don't see any of that. But you do see Jordan, Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, the Saudis, Iran, Iraq, Turkey, and all those other nations around in the crescent. That's what you see. That's what you see. Folks, I'm just simply trying to get you to take literally, literally what God is saying instead of allegorizing the obvious into a preconceived plan thought up by someone who came up with this European idea many, many moons ago. All right? But times change. And in the end times, Daniel said, knowledge shall increase. Well, we have had a vast increase in knowledge in our generation. And we are able now to see and understand things that generations ago they could not have ever seen. They could never have seen them because they had not happened yet. But in 1948, the Jews became a nation, the nation of Israel. And all those promises are now being fulfilled literally. And we all have stood back in awe of what God has been doing. Now, let's look, please, for just a moment. I want to show you. I want to show you really just one thing. All right, just one little thing here. All right, look, please, at the army in Joel 2. This army is an army of people. All right, it's an army of people. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. And folks, this army that is coming with the Lord Jesus out of heaven is an army of people. Redeemed, changed. Remember, we got changed when the rapture happened 7 years earlier. Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And now we come back to fight in this battle. So I want you to realize that in Joel chapter 2, Joel sees an army, and that army is an army of people. Look, please, if you will, at verse 2. Joel sees a great and strong people. All right, look at it. A day of darkness and gloominess. It says in the middle of the verse, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like. Nobody has ever had an army like this army that's coming with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to be like Jesus. That's what 1 John tells us, 3:2, that when he comes again, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So when the Lord comes back, we come back with him, and Joel in verse 2 says, we are a great and a strong people. So who are these folks? Who are these? These great people. Who are they? Well, first of all, we know the Lord is there. Verse 1. We know the Lord is there. There's no doubt about that. All right. Joel says it is the day of the Lord. So we know the Lord is there. We know Jesus is there. But who are these people that Joel sees as a great people and a strong? Well, if you'll just take a minute and turn to a couple of verses, you'll understand who these are. Let's go back, first of all, to the book of Psalms, the book of the Psalms, and turn, please, back to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Psalm 50. All right, look please at verse 1. Look please at verse 1. And verse 1 says, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun until the going down thereof. Out of Zion. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, that's what Joel said. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him. Didn't I just read that in Joel 2? Yeah, I did. So David is speaking about the same thing that Joel was speaking about. And he said, it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, watch this now, and to the earth that he may judge his people, that's Israel. Gather my what? Oh my. You say, well, I didn't know that was in the Bible. It is. Isn't that amazing? It's right there. Gather my saints together unto me. Wow. You say, but Pastor, that's in the Old Testament. I know. Right there is the New Testament in the Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament before it's in the New Testament. All right? So he said, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Whose sacrifice? The Lord Jesus' sacrifice. That's right. Remember, there's no other foundation. Verse 6, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Think about it. Selah, just sit there and think about it. Folks, it's coming. It's coming. Go over to the book of Daniel real quick. Daniel. And look, please, at Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7. My, here it is again. What do you know? All right, look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. He said, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Wow. Wow. That's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? Yes, it is. All right, let's see. All right, so, yeah, right, that's what I wanted. Look here. Go back to verse 10. All right, so who are the thousands ministered unto him? Who are those? And 10,000 times 10,000. No, that's a big number. All right, you get that high, you just give up. You don't even try to count. You just say, man, there's a whole bunch there. All right. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Who are these thousands and thousands and thousands? They're us. Yeah. And that's, he calls, come on, come on. And we come out. Wow. What a day. Man, that's going to be amazing, isn't it? You see, this army, this thousands and tens of thousands are simply the redeemed. They're us. When he comes back, he comes out of heaven. Turn over to the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 19. Let me read you what John saw. This is what John saw. And oh, by the way, notice that what John saw was the same thing David saw, and it was the same thing Isaiah saw, and it was the same thing Ezekiel saw. I mean, they're all seeing the exact same event. And so here in 19, look at verse 11. It says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it was called faithful, capital F, and true, capital T. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Where'd he get those? He got those from us in chapter 4 and 5. Yes, exactly. Now you're catching on, aren't you? All right. That he said, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the what? Armies. Well, I declare. Are you still in Joel? Did you put something in Joel so you could flip back to it real quick? All right. Look down, please, at verse 11 again. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his what? Army. Yeah, there it is. His army. And it's going to be big. Big, big, big. Back to Revelation. It says that no man knew but he himself, clothed in a vesture, dipped in blood. His name's the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Now again, you say, well now, Pastor, doesn't the Lord know about my back? Yes, he does. You'll be fine. All right, glorified body. Don't lose sight of that. Man, I'm looking forward to that more than just about anything. Yep. All right, so clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should, what? Smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh, in other words, from his shoulder across his chest down to his thigh, a name written, King of Kings. He's not just a king, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All right? So, in Joel, verse 11, he's here, he's present on the earth, and we're with him. He comes out of heaven, and we come with him. His voice speaks, and his army hears it. He speaks to the army because he is the commander, the general, the King of Kings. Now, folks, all the way back in Isaiah, well, turn there real quick, and I'm going to wrap it up. I know there's watermelon out there. I know there is. Y'all looking at me like, oh, he's done lost his mind. No, I know there's watermelon out there. All right, look, please, at Isaiah 12. Isaiah chapter 12. Just a little short verse or chapter, but look, please, at chapter 12 and verse 6. And here the Bible says, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Hey, he's coming again. You ready? He's coming again. Could be tonight. And when that day comes, I'm telling you, folks, the Lord Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, is going to stand in the midst of Zion. And the Muslims aren't going to have a thing to say about it. Look over at chapter 13 real quick. Look at 13. All right, chapter 13. And you'll notice in verse 1, the burden of Babylon. Go down, please, to verse 3. I have commanded my sanctified ones. My sanctified ones. What's that mean? Cleansed, pure, holy. Who are they? Us. You say, well, how we get clean? We get clean as we go and stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. All right? So he said, my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. Man, I am looking forward to this day, aren't you? I think I'm just going to stand there and point at him and say, I told you. I told you. Look at him. That's him. I pointed you to him, and we're not going to be able to take our eyes off of him. What a day that's going to be. So folks, get the picture. Whose day is it? It's the day of the Lord. And so when this battle's over, there he is in Zion. There he is in Jerusalem. There he is on the holy mount where his son was crucified. There he is. And the whole world's going to know. Jesus is the King. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for your word, and I pray you'll help us to get a good understanding of what's coming. The day of the Lord is at hand. We're all going to stand there on that day and see our Savior right in the middle of Jerusalem, standing on the mount where his son was crucified. We're going to see our Savior standing right there. And we're all going to realize that it is indeed the day of the Lord. That's going to be the day that the whole world will understand. Every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. And so, Father, until that day comes, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to read our Bibles and learn our Bible and know what we believe. Give us understanding as we read it. And stir our souls with your truth. Put a hunger and a thirst for righteousness within us. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do for us as you stir our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.